All right, Patrick, we got to talk. Got to talk about your guy Tibbs in a battle with the Wolves last night. But you're in a battle with the vid.
I got the the only thing we had the home test, you know, the home rapid test that is said not to be 100% accurate, but you got to wait for the second line to pop up. You're supposed to wait 15 minutes. Mine popped up in about 12 seconds. that was a pretty good indication that something was going on. So I'm confident I have it, and I'm confident that 3 days from now I'll be feeling pretty good. Right now I just got the bad headache and a little like a bad cold in the. But it's thank God for Pfizer. Let me say that.
It's always bad when instead of that line popping up, it's just like the eyeball emojis within 15 seconds.
Yeah. Just go someplace quick. Plus, I got my good old oximeter, too. Did you guys get one of those in the height of the early COVID?
No, you were telling me about that, though. You bought one of those, right?
In the oximeter and tells you allegedly how much air you have, and if it gets under 90, you're in trouble. But it's supposed to be 95 or above, but if it gets low 90s, then you got to be looking. But if it gets low, I was talking to Molitor about it. He has a sister who's a nurse, and told him, now if it gets to 90, go to the hospital. He waited until she got to about 87, and he was in there for a week. So back early days of this thing, he was in there for a week fighting. So I trust the oximeter, too, and it still's got me at 95 or 6. So
yeah, mostly hot air blowing out of
it. Yes, right. That's true.
Well,
hot takes 110%.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, all right. We're glad you're fighting this thing. So last night, the Timberwolves took an early lead like they usually do, and then the Fighting Tom Thibodeaux steamrolled them in the third quarter. The crowd's going crazy, and I feel like over the last 17 years, the Timberwolves almost always tuck their tail and curl into the fetal position. But this year, they don't.
No, they don't. And Jalen Noel comes out and lights it up in the fourth quarter. They have another thing they have that they haven't had in the past. They have some depth. They have a little bit of depth. This guy doesn't get to play that much, but he's pretty good. You know, the guy's kind of getting phased out as Naz Reid, isn't he? He's only getting about 12 minutes a game. I think this guy likes, Finch likes more speed in the game, don't you think?
Is that
one reason that, I've always kind of liked Naz, but
He's fine. Yeah, he's fine. He's a 15-minute fine. You probably don't need to be playing him 30 minutes a night.
No. He's been getting about 12, but he was second guy off the bench for a long, long time. But the other thing about him is you never know, you know, whose night it might be. But you got the big three, and then you got, I mean, I'd hate to see big three and include D'Angelo in it, but he's been playing pretty good. Yeah, this is a good team. And the Knicks, meanwhile, are having lots of trouble because they've had a lot of illness, but the mix just doesn't look right. And somebody said that whatever the Hawks did to Julius Randle last year, everybody else is doing now. And he was damn near the MVP last year. That's why they won all those games. And he's okay now, but he's not dominating games like he did last year. And that's one reason I think they're back under 500 again. So there was some games early in the year. Tibbs' boys were shooting like 45 threes. I think he went nuts. I don't know what was going on. And Kemba hasn't worked out for him really, and some other things. So that was a good win, and it was interesting. Towns quotes about Madison Square Garden was the place when he was a kid, and his mom always wanted to go to games there because she thought that was something special. So he's been playing good. We got to admit it. He's been playing good.
So on Tibbs, it is a crime. The only guy that I think should not be required to wear the COVID mask is Tibbs.
Yes.
Because they're silencing him. And that breaks my heart.
Oh, he pulls it down every 5 seconds. I know to yell is, at
but
somebody.
I want to hear. But I want to hear more. I want to hear more Tibbs. I want constant Tibbs.
The nose coverage among NBA coaches is very poor. Very poor.
Yes, it is. It's
some of the old, some of the biddies who walk around my Lunds and Byerlys looking for nose nose exposure on the mask things. They could, the NBA could use some of that. Yeah, get it up over your nose, there, fellas. Get it up over your nose.
Yeah, it's funny. Like Tibbs, you know, he's going through all the protocols, right? He's got the mask on. He's just standing there. And then, like, every five minutes, he pulls it down and stands a foot from the official and berates him.
And the good thing about it is in New York, he can yell some F-bombs at various people and his players and everybody, and nobody cares. We're not. Their feelings aren't hurt. Like
Glenn's wife is not there to be
did not like Tibbs swearing.
It does concern me a little that Tibbs, like that right hand will start to shake throughout the game. Is that like a conscious tick?
I was a little worried about early Parkinson's or something, but I think it's just basketball nerves, don't you? I think he just got that. But he does have that left hand deal going that he always had. But I miss him, but I'm the only guy in town that does. But I like this guy. I like Finch. I think he's pretty good. And nice drive to the basket by Cat to pull the game out. And another nice win. And, boy, that was a terrible last position by possession by the Knicks, too. That was it. Tibbs was over there drawing something up. Whatever he drew, they didn't do. I'll tell you that.
What do you think? I mean, Finch, it's hard to know exactly because we're not, like, at the practices and stuff. But he obviously has the entire roster listening to him. They buy into him. I mean, Anthony Edwards, you know, delivered an ode to Finchie like a week and a half ago at a post-game press conference. Yeah. And, you know, what do you think it is about?
I think
about
they
it?
Just see, you know, knowledge. You know, I would think that they see that this guy is talking stuff that, you know, talking to them straight and not a lot of BS, and he'll take a shot once in a while after a game when they didn't play well. But he's, you know, he obviously is a better people person than Thibodeau was, and obviously a better coach than Ryan was. So you know, better knowledge of the game. And I think this is a lesson for the Vikings as they're searching for their coach.
Wow, what a segue!
A nice professional
pros pro.
Guy who knows, you know, who's not, you know, not as grumpy as Zim, not as paranoid as Zim. Now, it's hard in football to get a non-paranoid coach, but a mature individual who can relate to people and who people are going to listen to and say, yeah, this guy knows what the hell he's talking about. You know, it's not some 33-year-old kid who's going to want you to run a draw play with quarterback draw with 14 seconds left in the game and, you know, and say, keep on going. You know, I think that now Raheem Morris to me is a add-on, don't you? As far as, if you're going to hire that guy, then you hire Todd Bowles, right?
They're very, very different styles of communication.
Yes.
Obviously both had their flame out stint.
Yes.
I think the biggest difference is Raheem Morris was like 33.
Yeah.
When he flamed out with the Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers were sort of entering this post John Gruden stripping down of the roster.
Yes.
And Raheem Morris is intriguing. And there's been a lot of players like Jalen Ramsey came out yesterday and said he's the best coach I've ever played for.
Yeah,
so
I guess he is. I just think, to me, you know, Bowles, the job he had no chance, you know, at the job he had. But again, you guys, you might be right, Phil, because he might be too much like Zim, because I think he will chew some hiney, as they say, you know, if somebody screws up. But they're interviewing an incredible number of defensive coaches, right?
That's, yeah,
That's what.
It's five of the eight that are on their official list.
We talked about it again yesterday. This idea that they're out interviewing all these head coaching. What are they? When they hire the GM, they're going to say, "Here's a list."
We don't know.
Your pick of who you want.
We have no clue.
They're way behind on the general manager list, right? As far as interviewing people.
By the way, the Kansas City polls, he's a finalist for the Giants GM job, and he's getting his second interview with the Giants today. He got his first interview with the Vikings last night. So,
Zoom, I'm sure.
Yeah. Giants, Bears, Raiders, Vikings all have GM openings, and the Raiders just started because they blew out Mayock, I think, on Monday. So
yes, congratulations to them. By the way, what the hell?
Why did you hire that? That'd be my question. Why did you hire?
Mayock? I'm going to defend my guy Mike Mayock here for a second. So word is, so he nailed a bunch of like third, fourth, fifth round, kind of like Spielman, right? He nailed all these like second, third, fourth round picks, and whiffed on a bunch of first rounders. And word is, John Gruden was the one that was sort of like walking into the room during the first round and saying, "I want this guy," and then Mayock would take over the draft after the first round. And so they're throwing John Gruden under the bus for whiffing on first round picks. And I'm buying it.
Here's why I don't like to see Mayock get fired, because that means he'll be back on TV.
It does indeed.
Shut up. I'm yelling at the television.
I got worse news, Pat. I got worse news than that. I think that there is a fighting chance that Rick Spielman spends 2022 on your TV somewhere.
He was great on the Sticks podcast yesterday.
He becomes human.
Yeah.
He flips a switch and is like, "Media Rick is here to talk about things, and I'm not going to repeat myself."
The only media GPS I've ever heard him do was a couple of times I accidentally tuned into a Vikings radio broadcast when he was in the booth.
That was GM Rick.
In the exhibition, just saying absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's GM Rick.
Yeah.
So you know what? I don't like that guy. I don't like him. I just don't like him.
You basically feel about Spielman like most Wolves fans do about Tibbs.
Yes.
You just don't like him.
Just don't like him. I just think he's untrustworthy. That's what I think. I think he's untrustworthy. Now, I congratulate him for being a great family man and adopting a lot of kids and taking them and raising them to adulthood and doing a great job for all that. But really, what do I care?
You're as sincere as I am. Congratulations, Rick, on your great work with your family, but I don't really give
a damn. I don't really care. It doesn't have anything to do with, I'd much rather have you, be a little less family-oriented and give the media more access that's real than me.
Judd and I were texting about this yesterday. So it's like an hour-long podcast with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks moving the Sticks, and Rick joined them for a long chunk, and they talked about
after he got fired.
Yeah, this is yesterday. Yep.
Okay.
And he, about 12 minutes in, sort of unprompted, they are asking him about like the quarterbacks and the playoffs and stuff, and he took it and turned the conversation to, "I have definitely had some blemishes on my resume when it comes to selecting quarterbacks, and here's what I learned." And he goes into this dissertation about why he failed as a quarterback evaluator. And it's like, I get that you're not going to go up to a podium in front of the media and fans when you're employed as a GM and talk about how bad you are at evaluating quarterbacks while you have the job. But like a little bit more of that sort of humility and personal touch could have gone a long ways, I think.
Yeah, and that's probably true too, which is weird. But football is two different games, offense and defense. It's two different, and I think we've discovered as we go along, it's two different areas of expertise, right? That's why they got coordinators, and like Denny would draft all these great offensive players, and whenever he took a dive into somebody on defense, he was usually wrong. Now, sometimes it's because his hands were tied in the Warren Sapp situation, but Denny couldn't draft a defender. If he drafted a defender in the first round, you figured the guy'd be a bust. But offensively, he hit on everybody. So it was that kind of weird.
What we need desperately is this, an HBO show with Zim and a bottle of wine that we can, I'll pay for it, okay? But like a three-part show of Zim unfiltered talking about everything, including here. That's what I want. Drunk Zim would be, I would pay almost any amount to hear his unfiltered thoughts.
I just want Zim to stay healthy and stay away from football here for a couple of years. He's obviously going to show up and somewhere be a defensive consultant for training camp or something. But I think he's making enough money. He's getting paid two more years. Hang it up, Zim. You were too. This season was too emotional for you. And as we talked about the other day, when one of his last speeches to his team is about all the bad breaks he got when he was coaching the Vikings, that tells you that there's something going on there that's not healthy, right?
That's over the top.
Yes, that is true. So, say the Twins are announcing their Hall of Fame on Thursday.
Okay, they're inductee.
They're inductees or inductee or whoever makes it. If Cesar Tovar doesn't make it this time, all you youngsters are going to get visits at your home from me.
With COVID.
Yeah, with COVID.
He's going to come with COVID. He's going to come.
I'm going to send gifts. You. I'm going to send you a tube and tell you there's platinum in it or something. And when you open it, you're going to get COVID's going to
be like
right
a mafia hit for Cesar Tovar.
I will tell you, I think this is the first time in 10 or 11 years. They have removed me from the balloting.
You didn't get a ballot?
I was too critical of the Minnesota Twins over the last 2 years. I think they removed me from voting.
It
was an oversight. I did not get a ballot for the first time in 11 years.
Because I finally got one.
You finally got one?
I told him.
I
told him I want a damn ballot.
Did you vote for Cesar?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
Told you I did.
Thank you. That's very
And I wrote in Halsey Hall, and I know I'm not supposed to. I don't care.
Yes.
I want Halsey Hall in the Twins Hall of Fame.
It is ridiculous that I still think the reason old divers anyway just think he's in it. he had a room in
the Metrodome named after him. He can't even get in the Twins Hall of Fame now.
Okay, let me ask you guys this: who was on the ballot that you think might get in? That should never get in.
Ooh.
Who is on the ballot?
I have to look.
Brian Dozier comes to mind.
Oh, okay.
Is Brian Dozier on the ballot? I feel like younger media.
Right? Doesn't he have
no, I don't think he was on the ballot, Phil.
I don't think he was on.
I can look real quick.
That's a tough case there because the time of service has really been shortened down for what gets you in as they get harder up, right? And, Dozier should not be in the Hall.
Like Michael Kadire got in, right?
Yes. That's really iffy.
I know. And I love Michael Kadire.
I know him too, right? But that's iffy to me. That's iffy.
Dan Gladden's not in.
That should be the bottom. Gladden's not in, no.
But shouldn't Gladdy, combination of player and broadcaster, be in the Twins Hall of Fame?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. I think that should be the case, yes. But I was asking about this a month ago, and somebody said, glad he wants to get in on his player merits and hell with broadcasting. Well, that's good, Gladdy, because really, as a broadcaster alone, probably wouldn't make it, right?
Oh, boy.
I love him.
Oh, boy.
When he's on with Provis. But he kind of drifts off what happened during the play.
Yeah, you got to be a little more specific sometimes.
He doesn't finish the play all the time. When I'm listening on the radio, I want to hear what happened.
There's a fly ball to left.
No. Now having teamed up
silence.
With Suchere.
I've heard worse.
No. Oh, yeah, he has.
Here's one, guys. Scott Erickson. Does he belong on the ballot? 90 to 95, Pat.
Well, you could put him on the ballot, but he's...
Well, I'm just saying...
World Series...
If he gets in, does he deserve it?
So many names, aren't they?
Right, they are. Christian Guzman's on the ballot. Brian Harper.
Oh. Yeah, you got to draw.
Harp's Guzman. Really?
Christian Guzman's
on the ballot. We can't just be putting guys in because they played for 6 years and were pretty good. You know, like there's got to be
Dave Boswell, Pat.
Prestige here.
Boswell.
Boswell, he again was a meteor, you know, really good. But he was Dean Chance is another meteor, you know. He was fantastic, but he's not a Hall of Famer. So at some point you got to say, we're taking 5-6 years off and see what's out there when we come back, because we're out. Once Joe gets in, okay, we're done. We're going to have to wait here a few years.
It's tough because now that little desolate stretch between 2011 and like 2019 is catching up, right? Where you had this failed group of prospects and
yes,
yeah. Guardy will go in during that stretch, right?
I would guess so. I think Guardy was on the ballot, right?
Like they'll put guys in like Guardy.
If Guardy's got to be a first ballot,
yeah, he's
got to
be on it.
No. He is not on the
ballot. That's the they got a different committee, right?
That's probably true. Yeah.
Why I am not on that committee is beyond me.
Well, what they should
have, they should have a veterans committee. The early years.
I agree with this.
The committee should be me.
I agree. You and a bunch of dead folks.
Yes, yes. Me. I can tell you who belongs for me.
I think you should.
Stop silencing fair criticism of the Minnesota Twins.
Stop the steal of the Hall of Fame ballot of the Golden Years, okay?
Just because you're 0 for your last 18 playoff games, don't take it out on Patrick Roycey and Phil
Mackey.
They
took it out on you. They ripped your ballot away.
I know.
I was ripping something a couple months ago. I don't know who. Somebody, one of the local teams a month ago. Yeah, that Roycey, he never rips the Twins.
What?
Really?
Ron Roycey.
Yeah, really?
He's a big Polat fan.
Yeah, when I think of the protective shell around the Minnesota Twins, I think Patrick James Roycey.
Yep. Yes, that's true.
All right,
gentlemen.
Keep us posted.
By the time I see you Friday, I might be doing push-ups. Who knows?
Hopefully. All right. Pedialyte and rest.
Pedialyte.
Good old Fiji water.
Fiji water. That works
Pat Roycey here for Fiji water.
Okay. All right.
See you, bye.
All right, see you, Pat. All right, that's wrapping with Roycey here. Mackie and Judd on the Smart Earth YouTube channel.